coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. It's a vacation week podcast. We're enjoying some sun, but we have a lot to cover and to get to this week, including Bryson in a long drive competition and golf revelations that we need to go over. Some important things and lessons to take away for the golfers out there. Plus everything we're tuned into outside of sports includes new cable shows and nuts. I don't know what that is, but nuts, it's coming soon. And this week's guests are Clay and Stephanie Cowart, a really cool YouTube channel called Life by the Bow that I found. We're going to take a vacation together. You take a vacation with us, we'll get real tropical with this week's guest. Plus, we always end with food, and all of it is brought to you by our friends at City Bonfires. I talk about them every week because they're the real deal. It's that time of year when you'd love to have a portable, reusable bonfire that you could take anywhere with you, and that's exactly what City Bonfires offers. Our promo code is COLFIRE to save 10% off any order on their website, citybonfires.com. It is a really, really cool way to add some flair to any event outdoors. You can enjoy the beauty of nature under the fire. It's great. City Bonfire s'mores kits are available as well too. Check them out at citybonfires.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, happy couple days before our normal recurro time as we dive into everything that is going to happen this week. Let's talk about Bryson. Let's just talk about Bryson. We love talking about Bryson. Let's talk about long driving. We know he's moving on. We know he's hitting bombs. Do we think he's going to do better than past guests Wes Patterson and Josh Koch, though?
That's the interesting question. This was an interesting headline when we first read about this a few weeks ago, saying, wait a second, Bryson just announced he's going to participate in a long drive competition. And it starts hours after the Ryder Cup ended. So that immediately sparked our interest. We've got a lot of connections in the long drive community, and we love those guys, a couple of our past guests as well that are in the field. So I was following this intently, and it's been a lot of fun to watch him out there. He genuinely does seem like he's having a good time, which is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see him in entertainment mode and not being too super serious about the whole thing. But it seems like the community is kind of welcomed him with open arms, and he's hitting bombs. So that's what everyone loves.
I mean, if you're going to hit it over 400 yards in a long drive competition, I think they're going to welcome you. Yes. Plus, they probably haven't had someone with this guy's name attraction in quite a while, if ever. I mean, outside of the guys we talk about in long drive and hearing about who they talk about, it's not something I think the casual golfer really pays attention to.
Yeah, and you know what? Slight missed opportunity from Golf Channel. They get a lot of these long drive events on, but they didn't have this one on live this past week. So there was a little bit of a missed opportunity there, but the stream on YouTube was lit. There was a record attendance of people watching. So yeah, he's bringing a lot of attention to long drive with the way he's hitting the ball. And the thing that we can all get behind is he does those extremely loud, like grunt yell noises when he was hitting his bombs in competition last week. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I think he should bring a little bit of that to PGA Tour and start grunting out these 400 yard drives. That'll really drive everyone that he's playing with absolutely wild.
I love it.
Yeah, good to see Bryson repping long drive, and I just thought that should be noted because this is a guy that we like to give a lot of flack to, but he had a great run at Ryder Cup week at Whistling Straits, won a lot of people over with his bombs, and he's extending that this week and bringing it to a whole new audience of eyeballs. I don't know how regularly he's going to be doing this, but it was nice to see him hit with the long drivers.
It is indeed. Let's talk about some revelations in golf that I know you had recently, Alex. I think you're evolving as a player and you're determining what is best for you. And I want you to share with everyone some of these revelations you've had.
Yeah, we're vacation week and we're an evergreen episode right now. So I wanted to have a general golf conversation with you, Micah, and chop it up because we don't do that as often as we should about how our games are doing. And I had a couple things come to fruition this past week when I played with my buddy Anthony. The first one was, I noticed, Mike, I've only played two sub 80 rounds this entire year in 2021, and both times I unfortunately was not having the luxury of riding the golf cart. I love riding the golf cart just like you do and just like everyone else out there does. It's obviously the quickest, easiest way to get around the course. But I did both of those sub 80 rounds, Mike, with a push cart, actually walking the course, kind of getting a feel for the ground. What are your thoughts on a push cart? Because this is something I used to always reject when I was a kid. I used to laugh at the older adults that had push carts going around the course. But now, as I head into my 30s, Mike, it's becoming more and more of a reality that I might be getting one of these things.
Well, I think a push cart is a great way to allow you to really enjoy the course, slow down a little bit through the course of your round as well. And it keeps you loose because you're not sitting down and getting up. You're standing and walking around the whole time and you're having to pull something with you. So I used a push. I had a push cart when I was in high school and college. And even after that,
I'm thinking about investing.
I think,
honestly,
the one thing I will say, when it's 110 outside, you're still going to be using a cart. You're not using a push cart. You're using a motorized cart.
Is a seasonal thing. You're right. There's the moments for it, and there's the right and wrong courses for it too. There are courses that I already know of off the top of my head that are extremely hilly and undulated. You just don't want to do it there. That's just extra taxation on your leg muscles that you don't need. But if you're playing a nice town, city, flat, muni course on fairly flat terrain, I say absolutely go for it. I'm looking into push carts now. If there's someone else out there who wants to send me a suggestion, I'm at Twitter at Course of Life One. You're at MWRNC. I'm curious to see what people use out there. But you're right. It was nice to kind of walk the course, collect yourself. And when you hop off that cart, you know, you don't feel quite as fresh as you do when you're walking the fairways. That was revelation number one for me. Revelation number two, which I know you can appreciate because you're a guy that you have a threshold within your grasp. We've talked about you breaking 100 and doing it with more regularity on the golf course. My friend Anthony had been struggling to break 80, and he finally did it this past week with me. Shout out to Anthony for shooting a 78. But the thing I noticed that Anthony did really well, which he'd had a problem doing for a while, is just keeping the eyes off the scorecard, Mike, you know, going hole by hole and playing it shot by shot and focusing on what's right in front of you instead of always doing the math every hole, every three holes and knowing exactly where you stand and what you need and what you can't do. He stayed away from that and he ended up having the best round of his life. So that was a telling revelation number two that I learned today.
I think personally, I struggle with trying to let the card go away because I like to be able to record it to see at the end of the round where I'm at. I think the only time I'm really sitting there and going like, oh, I need this to hit this number is kind of those last like two, three holes where I'm looking at it. And the one time I will say the one time I broke 90 when I shot 89, I was paying attention to the card.
That's impressive. And so, that's impressive that you were paying attention for a career round like that too.
So, and that was even, I remember being on the last hole and going like, okay, I need to hit this. So let I break it. So
that's a max pressure you're applying. And Anthony used to do that. And I'd seen him have lots of putts for 79 and whatnot and come close because he knew exactly what he had to do. But this time he was just freewheeling it for the entire 18 and he didn't even realize he broke 80 until he was in the parking lot. So listen for everyone out there that if you can, if you're working on that career round, you're trying to get to that next threshold, just focus on what's in front of you because you can only hit one shot at a time. The scorecard will be there at the beginning, the middle, and the end of the round. So do it at your own discretion. A couple of things I learned from this past week's play. You can always follow all of our golf content and YouTube vlogs of my rounds as well. Check us out at Course Life Podcast on YouTube for more great golf content as well.
That's right. So as we've been saying, it's vacation week. We're actually both, for different reasons, going to be in Southwest Florida.
Paradise. Paradise. Love it.
Yep.
Great weather down there.
More paradise for you, I think. I think you're in Marco Island. That's a little bit more of paradise than, you know, Naples.
Yeah, you got a little bit more of a business trip than I do. But one thing that is for sure that's going to happen, might be both of us, could just be me and some friends and family. But we're definitely going to be paying a visit to Pop Stroke. Mike, you remember a few months ago we had Wes Abbott on from Pop Stroke in Fort Myers. This is an exciting little business idea that has come along in the last decade or so. It's kind of the Topgolf theme where there's a restaurant and a bar attached, but this is elevated mini golf. And these golf courses, these mini golf courses are designed by Tiger Woods and TGR Design. So definitely something worth checking out. I'm hoping to do a live broadcast there, check out some food, the drinks, and play at least one, if not both of the courses to give you a little bit more content from Popstroke. So definitely check out that past interview as well too.
Yes, indeed. I'm don't know if I'll be there or not, but either way, I think it's going to be really exciting to see.
I'm curious because, you know, all the mini golf courses we're used to playing, Mike, they're pretty flat terrain. There's some undulation at parts around the hole. These golf courses at Popstroke, they lay out just like a regulation golf course. So there is slope and undulation from every tee box all the way to the hole. So it's interesting. You really have to kind of route your shots. And I'm interested to see what that experience is like. So for everyone in Florida, definitely check out Popstroke if you haven't already.
Do we know what the green reading is on the stimp meter?
Oh, yes. I'll have to do a measurement. You know, yeah. I'll break out the ruler and I'll roll some balls and I'll see what they're rolling at. My guess is, I don't know, maybe a 13, 14. Could be Augusta National level greens. Maybe even a little faster. It gets dicey out there. So we'll see.
Let's take a peek at what they're doing over the weekend. We don't know who's going to win this weekend, but we're going to still guess who may win at the Shriners for Children Open in Vegas, where Morton Laird is defending. What do you think? Give me a long range pick here. Who are we looking at?
Okay, couple of randos. I'm looking at new PGA Tour guys who are just popping on the scene, who've got cards as well too. Here's a random one. How about Sahith Teegala? This is a guy that's been on the Korn Ferry Tour for the last few seasons. He finally got through the Monday qualifying grind and he got status on the PGA Tour. He had a decent finish in Napa a couple weeks back. So I'm gonna watch him. I'm watching him on my radar. I'm always looking for a couple guys that could splash really early into their PGA Tour career and residency. So there's a name to throw out. And yeah, you mentioned Morton Laird defended. If people remember from last year, he just had some insane moments where I think he chipped in a few crazy ways on Sunday to get this win. He hadn't won in several years in the PGA Tour. So it was a big time reunion win for Morton Laird. We'll see if he can run that back. But my full card will be Wednesday night at Course of Life One on Twitter. Your picks will be at MWRINC. And like I said, and I've said previous weeks, we both had four W's each for ourselves in 2021. So we can definitely keep it rolling here in the fall.
Yeah. I gave you $20 last year and I haven't had to give you more money since.
That's right. So. Yeah. That's always a good sign is when you don't have to keep giving the bookie money. That means you're doing pretty well. So shout out to us and our picks. Check them out on Twitter as always.
All right. Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I got a documentary for you to watch.
Are you ready? Yeah, all I know is it's nuts. That's it. That's all I got for you. I know one word. Tell me everything.
The movie starts with an animated goat sex scene.
Oh, wow. So we're getting right into the nitty gritty right off the bat there.
Right into it.
This uncomfortable moments from the beginning. Yeah,
exactly. This is a mostly true story of Dr. John Romulus Brinkley. He's a snake oil salesman. For lack of a better term.
Love a there good snake oil. So love a good con artist. Yep. I'm always a fan of them.
Yeah. This is a very hilarious documentary, mostly animated, and came out in 2016. There are a lot of parallels to Donald Trump. So I'm just going to put that out there. So if you're easily triggered, you're going to see it.
Oh, great. We love triggered. I love triggered people too. So there's a lot of things going on there. Okay. Starting with the opening scene, sex as well too. Shout out to the goats. Okay. Nuts. Definitely nuts indeed. I'll have to look out for that one. This week, I'm tuned into just the onslaught. It's that time of year. I know you forget since you're out of the cable world, but remember, this is that time of the fall when like all the shows return at the exact same time. Because it's prime rating season. One new one that is very intriguing on NBC is called Ordinary Joe. There's been a lot of promos for this in recent months, but basically it follows a guy named Joe who makes a pivotal life-changing decision right when he graduates school. And then what they do is they follow him on three parallel timelines based on where the decision goes. So one of them is, you know, 10 years after graduation, he's a police officer doing what his dad did. There's another option where he's a music star and he's world famous and following his passion, but he can't have kids with his wife because she doesn't want to. And then there's a third where he's a nurse and he marries his college sweetheart and just does the normal everyday thing that lots of people do in the world. It's interesting because you kind of play three storylines out. It's a little confusing as they go back and forth, but I enjoy the initial subplots in Ordinary Joe on NBC.
Very interesting. So there you go. You got everything you need for the next week. You can watch Ordinary Joe and you can watch Nuts. Good to go.
Get nuts. Love it. Let's get to this week's guest, huh?
Let's do it. As we've been saying, we're on vacation and we want to bring everyone with us on vacation.
Yes.
Because we're headed to, well, for me, more tropical weather, and you're actually headed to tropical weather. So clear blue ocean, water will be there. We'll be on the Gulf side, but that's okay. But we wanted to talk with people who live in this kind of vacation world all the time. So that's where you were able to find the host of the YouTube channel, Life by the Bow.
Yeah, Life on the Keys in absolute luxury. I mean, these guys are also in Hurricane Central. We talked about that too. But they have an awesome YouTube channel that I just kind of randomly stumbled upon. Shout out to just the YouTube algorithm for bringing really cool content my way. And I found Clay and Stephanie. It's Life by the Bow. All about boating, fishing, their life on the Keys, and just the most unbelievable drone shots you've seen on YouTube in a long time. These guys really put a lot of effort into their content, and it was just a joy talking with them about everything they do and everything they create.
That's right. So Clay and Stephanie Coward from Life by the Bow, we'll have them up in just a moment. But first, as always, want to let you know this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart so it's easy to view and use all day long. No more fumbling around the dark spaces of your cart, dropping your phone on the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. The Phone Caddy keeps you locked in safely so you can stay locked into your round. It'll be the talk of your foursome. And Alex, it's a fantastic holiday gift idea.
You're saying that already. I mean, I think it, yeah, I'm checking the...
It's October.
Oh my.
It's October.
Okay. All right. It's time.
Once away.
I like that. Okay. All right. It's shopping season. Listen up. Desert Fox. Listen up.
Time to go. Avoid the rush. Go online and save 10% off a Phone Caddy. That's how generous we are to you, our listeners, that we can save you money. Promo code is Course of Life. You can get a Phone Caddy in any number of colors. You can get one from their patriotic line for the police officer, veteran, or firefighter in your life, and show them how much you care for them. So head on over to the website desertfoxgolf.com, get your Phone Caddy, and use that promo code Course of Life to save 10%. Again, that's promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com.
Next up on the Course of Life, we have some awesome content creators that I am so glad I found, and I'm glad to have them here on the podcast to introduce you to them. The creators of the Life by the Bow YouTube channel and also Avail Gear. They're living an awesome life on the Florida Keys, a place I love as well. It's Clay and Stephanie Coward joining us here on the Course of Life. How are we doing today?
Doing great.
Good.
Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. It's a pleasure to meet you guys too. I feel like I know you already from watching as many videos as I've seen on your YouTube channel, but let's get to the beginning for you guys. Cause I know your channel is all focused on not only your life in the Florida Keys, but boating and fishing. So I'm just curious for the both of you, what are your very first memories? I don't know how far back they go of you being on a boat out on the water.
If you've been watching, you obviously know that I grew up here in the Keys. So honestly, I would say when I was like five, I just have this like memory of me just jumping off the front of the boat at Rodriguez Key in Key Largo and just really enjoying myself with my family. And that's kind of where boating just came to life for us. Like on the weekends, we would just spend every weekend out on the boat. And that's pretty much what
I think. Where it all began.
Yeah,
for her.
Right, so Clay, are you from the Florida Keys as well too? Or where are you from?
So I didn't grow up down here, but I did. So I grew up in Homestead, Florida, okay, which is probably about an hour north of the Keys. However, my family, we've always had a vacation house down here. So we would always come down here on the weekends. So that's where I say, I mean, I didn't necessarily grow up down here, but I spent a lot of time down here as a kid. And obviously now Stephanie and I both live down here full time. She imported me, as I like to say.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done, Stephanie. It's a great location indeed. I've spent a lot of time in Southwest Florida myself, and we've made the drive down through the Keys as well too. It is an absolutely beautiful spot. So I want to get to the creation of the channel as well too. Maybe even before it started as well too. I know it was an interesting time in our life and everyone's life a little over a year and a half ago, and kind of everyone's world got turned upside down. And I know for you guys, it was kind of an interesting scenario where you live, there were kind of some issues with food and food shortages. Talk to me about that time and kind of what that moment meant in terms of how maybe it helped you accidentally kind of create the channel and the videos that we now love and watch.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, Life by the Bow actually started, I would say, probably about a year and a half before the pandemic, but it wasn't called Life by the Bow. It was something entirely different. Mm. And probably my first go at trying to create a YouTube channel based on fishing and boating. However, you know, I'd always been around boats my entire life. But fishing was something that I was okay at, but I was never that good to the point where I could go out on a weekly basis and produce new content that would be interesting. So kind of gave that up after like the first two or three videos I shot. And I just decided to focus on, you know, my freelance videography, photography. And once the pandemic came around, basically, as everyone knows, everything came to a complete halt, complete stop. Stephanie wasn't working. All my video photography jobs got canceled. So, like you're saying, there was some shortages at the grocery store because, you know, here in the Keys, they have to bring everything down to us. So,
right.
You know, people from Miami were coming down and buying all of our groceries because they didn't have any groceries in Miami. So Stephanie and I were like, let's just go out fishing and let's see if we can catch something for dinner. And, you know, like I'd said, I had tried doing these videos in the past and Stephanie saw a great opportunity to just pick up my iPhone and just film what was going on. And it was so pure. We had such a good time doing it. I was like, you know what? Let's just put a video together. I edited together everything that she had mostly shot through the day. And we posted it up on YouTube and we were just surprised how many views we had got initially and how the subscriber count grew after just the first video we posted. And that's kind of just how it came about. We made that first video. And since 2 years ago, over what is it, a year and a half we've been doing this for 2 years now, Stephanie?
Like a year and a half. Yeah. So like,
yeah.
So we haven't not made a video on a weekly basis since then. And yeah, we've constantly been pushing, just learning new fishing, new techniques to just always try to produce new content. But that's really how it all started.
Yeah. So you'd had the idea and then you really had to pick it up and go full drive with it. I'm curious, you guys must've just started buying all sorts of equipment left and right to take this beyond the iPhone videos that we were originally seeing. What was that kind of like, what was that trial and error experiment like as the content was getting better and better and better? It's gotten to an amazing level right now, but what was that experience like kind of learning everything on the fly as you've grown the channel?
Well, okay, so for me, there wasn't really much of a learning curve because previously I had worked in the fishing industry. So I've been around fishing shows and I've been around outdoor shows. So it was kind of second nature for me. However, on the other hand, there was a lot of learning that Stephanie had to do.
So like I had always gone fishing and just kind of took a backseat basically to everyone who would fish and I would just join in and fish. So I had to learn how to fish myself, like really learn how to tie knots, do everything myself. And then also like be behind a camera. For me, it was just like, you know, not second nature. I was super shy in front of the camera and really learning how to be myself was my biggest issue. And it still is. Like I still find myself getting nervous. And as the channel continues to grow, I kind of have that in the back of my head, like, wow, all these people are watching me. And like, it gets a little, you know, nerve-wracking and just a little overwhelming at times. And then you add fishing and that's kind of where I'm just like, I forget about the camera. Cause like, that's what I enjoy doing with Clay. So
wow, the nervousness does not shine through at all, definitely, for anyone who has or hasn't seen the videos yet, because you guys do really offer really just a naturally exciting energy that makes you want to watch even further. So I appreciate that about the videos as well, too. One thing that's really neat that you guys tie into the videos as well, I want to get into the background on Avail gear. I see you guys sporting the gear in the videos. It obviously ties in with your lifestyle. Explain kind of how that brand came seem to be. And I know you guys are always working through issues and creating that business and getting it out to as many people as possible. Where does everything stand right now with the gear business?
For sure. Yeah. So, you know, previously I had been into e-commerce and I really enjoyed online sales. I love designing products. I love designing their packaging. And that's kind of what I did in tandem with videography and photography. So it finally got to the point where I was like, you know, I want to try to make something that I'm passionate about. And long story short, I kind of just looked around my house. I looked in my garage. I looked in my tackle box. I'm like, what can I bring to the fishing industry? And I looked in my closet and I had all these fishing shirts and I just kind of thought to myself, I mean, I don't know. I'll never forget it. Like we were on vacation in Utah, Stephanie and I with one of our close friends. And I just woke up one morning and I told Stephanie, I said, Stephanie, I'm going to make a fishing apparel brand. And she was like, okay, go ahead, do it. So I started a Vail Gear. And basically, we started out with just performance shirts, but I went all in. Like, I made sure that it just wasn't just your plain Jane fishing shirt. I made sure to have the best material. It had all the mesh built into all the different places. So that way, you know, you weren't sweating. It had the moisture wicking material. So if you got fish blood on it, all you had to do was spray it off. You know, I went all out.
Nice. And
so I put everything up on the internet and launched the site, and man, I made an announcement on Instagram. I made an announcement on Facebook, and automatically shirts were just flying out. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is a dream. Like this is the coolest thing in the world. And after about a week, once all my friends and my family bought, it just went silent. It was dead. I didn't get a single sale. And then I just kind of thought to myself, okay, well, what am I going to do now? I have all these shirts and I figure out something to do. So about 6 months went by and I was just so busy with just e-commerce, videography, photography that I didn't really get to touch the brand. And then once we started Life by the Bow, then we started thinking to ourselves, well, let's start incorporating the clothing brand into the actual videos. And we did one video, we incorporated the brand, we put like availgear.com up on one of the videos and then immediately, yeah, well up on the video itself and immediately we started getting sales. Mm. And so we continue to do it in the videos and it's just grown and grown and now it's growing so rapidly and there's such a demand for the actual brand that we cannot get clothing faster than we can actually sell it. Like, we're constantly out of stock and that's what we're struggling with right now. So we're trying to, you know, up our supply chain, try to get clothing faster. So that way, you know, we can actually match the demand for the product.
Yeah, you're definitely not the only one who's going through those supply chain issues. But yeah, I feel for you on that. That's a good sign indeed that you're selling through things. And it's so cool to think that, you know, kind of maybe you had plan A, you had plan B. Plan B worked great with Life by the Bow. And then all of a sudden, plan A comes right back around into your life and you incorporate it into the videos. So that's very neat how that all came together. And speaking of the videos, Stephanie, you can probably speak to this more, but talk to me about your camera guy. I've seen him reference this camera guy, Anthony. He's come through with some really clutch shots before. But talk to me about, you know, who assists and the team that actually makes these videos happen along with the two of you.
So really, so we have Anthony, we've had a few people come along and really it's just been a learning experience because sometimes it's really hard when you're working with freelance videographers is right. That have a busy schedule. So it's really hard to stick with one person. So we kind of have a few of them that we call every time we're doing a video, especially with our, with Life by the Bow, we're so dependent on weather. So if the weather isn't good, we're not out there fishing because if you've been seeing, I get seasick. So we try to keep it like under 10 knots.
Only the calm days.
Yeah, only the calm days.
It's hard though.
Yeah. So we have, really, I feel like the majority of the videos were filmed with Nick.
Yeah, so Nick was actually the first person we ever brought on board. Yeah,
saw him referenced too. Cool.
Nick. And then Anthony's only filmed like three.
He's only done about two or three of the videos. Nick was the one that literally helped me build Life by the Bow. So Stephanie before, she was actually a teacher at the time. And I was working on Life by the Bow basically by myself with Nick. But, you know, a lot of people, they look at the videos and they always want to sit. I'm just being brutally honest.
Yeah.
People always sit there and they're like, man, like you have, you know, a really good camera guy, or, you know, you have this really good editor. But what a lot of people don't realize is I am holding a camera just as much as I'm talking to it.
Yeah.
So I'm actually shooting the videos as we're actually putting them together. Like, as soon as I say a little something, I'll put the camera down, like I'll grab the camera from Stephanie and then I'll just start filming B-roll. Yeah. Like I'm filming, I'm fishing, and I'm talking all at the same time. Whereas we'll plug in Nick or we'll plug in Anthony and they basically help with the entire production. But I actually do majority of the production. It's a crazy thing. You have to actually be there to see how it all works. Which is why I think a lot of people are very kind of like intrigued based on how these videos get done.
Yeah, it is. There is that pining for the behind the scenes. Like I want to know so much more, but it is interesting. It gives me a little bit of relief to know that you guys really are grinding to put these together because the edit is absolutely flawless every time. One thing I wanted to touch on as well too. Talk to me about the drone shots in the clear water. I think that's like your MVP, to be honest. I love the start, finish, and middle of every video. Always has a great drone shot of the unbelievably clear glass water in the Florida Keys. What was it like? I know you've been in videography for a while, but talk to me about, you know, getting your drone, using it, and how you've gotten to be as good as you are with it.
For sure. Yeah. So, I mean, like I had referenced back when I started with fishing shows, I worked specifically as a drone operator. So that was like my main job. So I've been flying drones like way before Life by the Bow, and it's what majority of the time. And basically, you know, when I first start, it's funny because after I got my first drone, the second day I had it, I crashed it in the water right out here in front of my house. So that was that. I thought I'd mention that. But basically, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things like you fly it over water for the first time and you're very nervous about it. But, you know, as time goes on, you just become very comfortable. And the drones that we fly are made by DJI. And the technology in these drones are just flawless. I mean, it like you don't touch the remote. They just hover over the water if you don't want it. Like they're super user friendly is basically what I'm trying to say. However, you know, it does get a little sketchy when you're flying really close to the boat and you're flying very low to the water. And that's where I feel like the money shots come in because anybody can fly a drone nowadays because they're so user friendly. So the first thing that somebody does when they fly a drone, they want to send it all the way up to the sky and they want to get the highest shot possible,
right,
which is great. You know, those shots look great with the clear water, like you're saying, and stuff like that. However, you know, you got to start getting a little risky with it in order to get, you know, like I said, those money shots.
Definitely. It shines through. Really impressive work and all that videography experience truly paying off. Again, it's Life by the Bow, the channel on YouTube. Check out Avail Gear as well. Clay and Stephanie Coward, they're on Instagram, social media. You can find them for sure. Let's talk about what we love to talk about in this podcast. We always end with food. That's the key to every episode. And I notice that you guys have a very similar theme. I love it when your videos end with a nice seafood meal, preferably something that you guys catch right on the boat. And I want to touch on a couple cool things that I saw from your videos. Feel free to chime in, either one of you, but I loved seeing the lobster catching. Explain to me what's going on there. It sounds like there's a very mini season for lobsters and there's some sort of like legal limit on what you can take and how big the lobsters are. I thought it was a really cool piece of content that I hadn't known much about. I'm from New England where lobsters are ubiquitous, but tell me how it works down in the Florida Keys.
So basically we have a mini season that allows for like recreational fishermen to go out and fish for lobster before like all the big commercial fishermen come out and just like start fishing for them.
Where they put out their traps.
Exactly. Where they put out their traps. So that 2-day period is like
our time to shine.
Yeah, pretty much our time is to shine. There's a measuring device that you're going to use in order to make sure that they're legal. And it's really fun if you've never done it. I really enjoy it. You just got to learn how to hold your breath. That was one of the hardships I would say I had to go through. And then, yeah, so we ended up cooking it at the end. And that's kind of what our channel, like, we really enjoy doing is we like to go out, fish for the whatever we're fishing for, bring it back in and just end with a meal and just talk about, reflect on the day we had. And what's kind of funny about the cooking segment is I actually started cooking probably like 6 months before we started doing Life by the Bow. But So like everyone always asks me, oh, when are you going to do a cookbook? And I'm like, well, honestly, I just like started learning how to cook. And with when the pandemic hit, I mean, everything was shut down. So it's like, wow, I got to learn how to cook right now. And so over time, I've just gotten better at cooking with I find recipes online and I just see the ones with a bunch of reviews or some without. And I try it out for us. And we kind of tell the audience like what we think of the meal. And that's basically pretty much everything on it.
Love that. The secret's out. Stephanie's a newbie, but she's using the internet and her resources valuably, just like everyone at home can too. You guys can get it done. I mean, you did even did the fancy mise en place for the lobster bisque. You showed all the ingredients very nicely. It all looked very organized. So you fooled me for sure. But I want to touch on one other seafood that I saw too. I think this was clay on the grill. Talk to me about you guys cut open just an absolutely mammoth swordfish and made some lovely steaks with marinades. Talk to me about your favorite fishes to grill and maybe what was going in that marinade for the swordfish, if you remember.
I did the marinade. Yeah. So it was, I couldn't tell you everything, but I know we have.
Like, I think I kind of remember. It was
I had garlic in it, had vinegar, soy sauce. What else? I couldn't tell you every single thing, but I do have it in the description below the video. Cool. Yeah, but then Clay grilled it out and I loved it because I kind of took a backseat on cooking. But I guess I'll let you talk about the grilling experience.
Yeah, I mean, to be 100% honest, I didn't really start grilling until about a month ago.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, I don't know. Stephanie's always cooked and long story short, I mean, it's just, it's all part about getting better and just learning new things. I mean, you know, we're just trying to switch it up, have her cooking, have me grilling, have me fishing. Like we're just trying to play as many parts as possible, in the videos just to, you know, just always make it different, always switch it up. But which is funny is like, sometimes we'll throw things together that just are terrible.
I mean, we're pretty like honest with our viewers. Like,
yeah.
If we don't like it, but I will say that swordfish was
really, really good.
That was probably my favorite. There's like three recipes that I can think of that come to mind with this entire YouTube channel that I really enjoyed. And swordfish is probably the top one. It was delicious. Clay and I would say we're pretty picky when it comes to eating fish.
Very picky.
Like, and the thing about swordfish, it doesn't have a fishy taste whatsoever. It almost tastes like, I would say like an in-between.
Like a chicken and a
steak. Yeah, like a chicken, an in-between, like a chicken and a steak.
It's ridiculously good.
My mouth's watering over here. I was salivating just looking at them. They were steaks indeed. Those are swordfish steaks, not fillets by any stretch of the imagination. That was really cool to see. Yeah, keep up the food, keep up the cooking to end those videos. I absolutely love seeing that. I know our audience does too. It's Clay and Stephanie Cowart with Life by the Bow on YouTube. Let's get to just a few quick shot questions before we wrap up here. Status update on how everything is this season for you guys. I know hurricane season can bring all sorts of unpredictable weather. I know you guys had a storm in the past year that you documented that had some damage to the bottom part of your home, but how is everything with the place? How's this season been for you guys?
Everything has been fantastic. I mean, knock on wood, we've spared, you know, a couple hurricanes this year. Yep. You know, last year we were able to bounce back pretty quick from that storm. A lot of people don't realize is like the first floor of our house isn't a livable space. So when we do get a storm, we just open everything up and the water just flows right through. And then, you know, there's a little bit of cleanup day or two after just to clear out the rocks and the sand and all that stuff. But other than that, everything's good. But can't complain there.
Nice. Next question I had for you guys is maybe a place where you want to boat or fish where you haven't been yet. I know you guys have spent a ton of time up and down the Florida coast, but where's maybe a unique venue that you've either seen or never even been to that you'd love to boat or fish in?
That's a tough one. I mean, we've been talking about doing some places in South America. But there's definitely a lot of places in the Bahamas that we still haven't been to that we want to go to for sure. I just don't think we're going to be able to do that until next summer. However, so the question that he was asking, Stephanie, places we want to fish that we haven't fished yet.
Ooh. Well, I'll say, like, it's not a place I want to fish. It's the fish I want to catch. Oh. So for me, I really want to catch either a blue marlin or a yellowfin tuna, which you can catch them here, but
yeah,
I want to run to the Bahamas and try to catch a yellowfin tuna. Like the last, I don't know if you saw in one of the videos that Clay went without me and I was super upset.
But, not bitter at all, right?
Yeah, right? And I was like, man, I wish I could have gone on that trip.
We did a yellowfin tuna trip that she couldn't go on. And we only caught one yellowfin. And we drove 200 miles to the Bahamas just to go out there. And we're going to be going again this upcoming year, but we're going to do it nice. A lot. It's a learning experience, you know? So
that was one of my favorite videos. Indeed. The trip from Florida to the Bahamas. Be sure to everyone to check that out. Indeed. And yeah, you kind of hinted at it, but future videos upcoming for people who are just now starting to subscribe or looking to subscribe to your channel. Give us a little bit of tease of what might be upcoming in future weeks for Life by the Bow.
So we have one that's actually supposed to come out, which probably will be out by now, yep, by the time they hear this podcast.
It will, yeah.
We're doing one where we go to a prison off the coast of the Florida Keys. It's 80 miles from Key West. If anybody doesn't know what it's called Fort Jefferson, which is really cool. It's a very tropical video, white sand beaches, crystal clear water. And then you have this prison that's just literally out in the middle of nowhere sitting on a sandbar. So that's a video to watch out for. That'll be
really cool.
Yeah. So we're excited to release that one. And then also we want to do, you know, camping trips just in kind of like tropical destinations. You know, like I said, upcoming the next summer, we're going to be doing a lot of Bahamas stuff, but for the most part, I think we want to try to hit South America, try to do, you know, some fishing there. And that's kind of what to look forward to in the channel, just a whole bunch of Florida Keys content.
Love that. It's Life by the Bow, Stephanie and Clay Cowart. So cool to hear what you guys have in store. I absolutely love the videos. I'm looking forward to not only more content on the water, but more cooking content from you both. And thank you so much for joining the Course of Life. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're back. Great chat there with Clay and Stephanie. Their cinematography is pretty top notch.
Yes, I knew you'd appreciate that. I was like, Mike, you need to see these drone shots of this clear blue water right now. It's amazing. Yeah, shout out to Clay and all of his experience. And Stephanie getting good with the camera as well, too. It was funny to hear about them talk about how I was asking them all about these wonderful seafood creations. They're like, actually, that was the first time we did seafood. Actually, it was the first time we made swordfish steaks. Actually, so they're learning on the fly, but it was really neat to follow along on the journey and learn a little bit more about them. What a great team they make.
Yes, indeed. If you like that interview plus everything else that we do here on the podcast, make sure to subscribe, leave us a rating, 5 stars, you know, 10 stars. If you could do 10 stars, that'd be great.
A billion right. Stars, 2 devices. That's possible. Yeah. It is.
There you go. Just steal everyone's device that you see on the street and hit subscribe for them and give it 5 stars.
Appreciate that as always. It's time for us to talk a little bit of sports. We're in an interesting situation because we are Evergreen. So I guess there was a game that happened this past Sunday night.
Yeah.
It happened. I'm confident it happened.
Let's break it down. We're going to do 2 scenarios here, Alex. Okay.
And I've all right. So
I'm going to set you up. I'll set you up. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to start up high or down low?
Let's just go ahead and just start low because I've been low on this game for months. You know that. So
all right. Alex, your Patriots were completely and utterly demolished by Tom Brady. He played offense and defense. He sacked Cam Jones, Mac Jones.
Wow, that's impressive. I knew he was going to do something crazy, but I did not know he was going to step onto defense. Jeez.
Yeah. So how does it feel seeing Tom Brady come back into Foxborough and just make a mockery of Bill Belichick and the entire Patriot institution?
Yeah, the whole thing was very bittersweet and surreal, to be honest. It's just like I was kind of holding back tears like at many points of the night watching it all because it it didn't seem right. It felt normal to be congratulating him for everything he's done for New England. Obviously, I'm forever thankful for him, but it just seemed so wrong the way he just absolutely carved up the Patriots at every single end of the football field. So for that, I'm upset. I knew I had to get through this game mentally just to move on to the rest of the season. So if there's anything, I'm just glad it's over with. It was ugly, but I'm just glad it's over with so we can just move on and forget about it and just like try and move to the future with Mac Jones. Maybe. I don't know, but not pretty.
Okay. All right. So let's flip script. Let's pretend now that something else happened. So Alex, wow. Your Patriots put up a statement against Tampa Bay, and they actually hurt Tom Brady. He's done. He's going to retire. What do you think?
How right was I on this? I told you that we were going to come in and absolutely blow their brains off. It was very apparent that I've been very high on the Patriots, and this is a massive win. It definitely has us questioning a lot of the Bill versus Brady stuff, because you got to give a lot more credit to Bill. The game plan was there. We kind of kept Brady at bay and did enough to win, and I'm excited for the future now. This is the best 2-2 feeling I've had in a long time. So there's a lot of hope for the future right now. And I can't believe that things actually went that way on Sunday. I did not see that scenario playing out at all, but here we are and I'm glad.
You know, I'm sure that in reality, what'll happen here is that the two teams will tie.
Yes. I will really throw this episode for a confusing spin if we end in a 27-27 tie. But nonetheless, whatever happens with that game. The thing we will be paying attention to in the next couple weeks after this game happens, there is also going to be a controversial book coming out soon, which I know we're both going to be glued to. I've already seen some excerpts from it from Seth Wickersham from ESPN, and it's all about the Patriots, Belichick, Brady fallout, the entire dynasty in the final years. The excerpts that I'm seeing are showing, Mike, that there was a lot of strain in that three-way relationship between Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Bob Kraft. And it wasn't good in like any direction, if you're surprised at all, I'm not by that. But I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of that book soon.
I'm sure one way or the other, it's going to end with a happy ending, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, well done right there. great work there. Nice job, Mike.
Before we wrap this up with a nice little bow on it, baseball season is also coming to an end again. We won't know what actually happens, but I'm going to go ahead and call it right now. Yankees are top in the wild card. They play and they're going to play the Red Sox and they're going to win at Yankee Stadium.
All right. I'll hold you to that. And I'll send that out on Twitter to see if the evergreen prediction comes true. I love that. We're going to hashtag always end with food now, brought to you by our friends at Toasty Snacks, makers of the Toasty Super Bites. We love them. They've got a great variety of flavors. It's a great golf snack. It's a great snack for anywhere. It's healthy. COL20 is our code for 20% off, or just head to toasty.com/COL. Like I said, we've talked food before. It's the Always End With Food pod as well, too, which is our food podcast, which comes out once a month over there. Right now, this week, you're going to see a lot of tropics right now. It's going to be pina coladas on the beach and a lot of fried seafood from me on the Florida coast. So check out that food content. One of my favorite times of the year to really just indulge on all things seafood. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to crab dip on this feed. Conch fritters, always a fantastic South Florida treat. All of that.
I'm going to do a nice, just big ass, just like shrimp plate, fried, grilled, everything. Just give me a million shrimp with some French fries and coleslaw. That always goes down well when you're in a tropical setting.
My mind's racing, but there'll be a lot of things covered. So check out Always End With Food Pod on IG for those photos and our monthly food podcast as well. What's up with you food wise? What are you celebrating? Hey,
did you know that the day we're recording this is National Coffee Day?
Oh, shocker. It's a food day. Wow. Amazing. There's a day on the calendar devoted to a specific food. Who would have known?
And not only that, this is like coffee week because October 1st is International Coffee Day.
Well, I mean, I've been playing up the pumpkin spice coffee a lot recently. I've made a couple Dunkin' trips. I've got the pumpkin spice K-cup. So I've been big on coffee, even doing the iced lattes as well, too. So I'm definitely contributing to this movement right now.
Yeah. Just make sure you go buy more coffee, because if it wasn't for us drinking coffee, there wouldn't be coffee days.
Oh, yeah. Coffee makes the world go round. Indeed. That was hashtag always end with food. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Enjoy your vacation week, wherever that takes you. Thanks for tuning into our vacation week, and we'll see you next week.